All right, welcome to another episode of Speak Truth Podcast. I'm your host, Blake Gideon, and I've got one of our pastors here on staff, Jonathan Miles, with me, who just had a new baby girl. And her name?
Chloe.
Chloe. How much she weigh?
She was 9 pounds, 1 ounce.
9 pounds, 1 ounce. She's beautiful.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, look at that smile on his face. So we've got Jonathan and who's here with us, who's been a dad but got a new baby, and we're truly thankful for you, brother. All right, what have we got today on today's podcast? What are we going to deal with?
All right, so today's podcast, we're going to cover Catholicism.
Okay.
And I really want you to tell us the difference between Catholicism and evangelical.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's a great question, because you hear a lot, you hear both of those thrown around, like evangelicalism, Catholicism. At first glance, you know, just from a casual glance, it may appear that they may be in common, or they share similar doctrines. And the reality is that there are some doctrines that evangelicals and Catholics share, but they're not the same. And we'll, as we work through this, we'll help our audience understand the difference. But your question was what is the difference between evangelicalism and Catholicism? And so let me just start off by answering that question by first talking about evangelical. What is an evangelical? You know, what does that term even mean? Well, evangelical Christians are part of the Protestant movement that emphasizes, you know, the need for personal conversion, being born again. That's what evangelicals emphasize, the fact that, you know, it does come out of the Protestant Reformation. So, you know, Protestant means to protest, and the purpose of the Protestant Reformation was to protest false doctrines that were being promoted by the Roman Catholic Church. And so evangelicalism does come out of that, but evangelicalism focuses primarily on the personal conversion of the sinner, the need for the new birth. Also, evangelicals place high value on the authority in the inerrancy of the Bible. So for evangelicals, which Baptists are evangelical, okay, but for us, the sole, and this is key, the sole authority is the Bible.
Absolutely.
Okay, sola scriptura, all right? Now, that's going to make us different from Catholics, and we'll find that out here in a moment. But for the evangelical, and again, I just want to make sure my audience understands, an evangelical is someone who believes in the personal conversion, the need for the new birth, and the need to witness and to evangelize those who are lost. And we stand upon the Bible as our sole authority. And so Scripture plays, you know, a central role in defining, you know, what evangelical faith is. Personal relationship with Jesus, rooted in the Scripture. Mm-hmm. That's what we believe, personal relationship rooted in the Scripture, and so forth. And so the term evangelical, though, where does that term even come from? It originates from the Greek word euangelion, you know, where we get the word good news or gospel from. And so the evangelical movement traces its, you know, its heritage, its origin, all the way back to the 16th century Protestant Reformation, which aimed to reform the Catholic Church. And so there is a significant difference between evangelicals and Catholics. And so now let's talk a little bit about Catholicism to answer the second part of your question. Of course, Catholics belong to the Roman Catholic Church, and Roman Catholicism is one of the oldest religions, institutions in the world. Catholics believe in the authority of the church, which is headed by the Pope. And so that is so we're already beginning to see some of the major differences between evangelicals and Catholics, in the sense that evangelicals hold to sola scriptura. We believe that that the Bible is our sole authority and it is sufficient, whereas the Catholic Church would reject sola scriptura. that the Bible alone is our only sufficient authority, because of course the Catholic Church holds to the Church as the authority. And so for Catholics, they believe the Church is the authority, which is headed by the Pope. And they also place high value on tradition. You know, they place church tradition and scripture on the same authoritative level, which evangelicals would reject. They place high value not just on tradition, but liturgy, sacraments. And so for the Catholic Church, authority is both scripture and church tradition. They see church tradition as divine revelation. Now think about that for a moment. So we see the Bible as God's divine revelation, whereas they see the Bible and church tradition as divine revelation. Mm-hmm. And so when the Pope meets with his 70 cardinals for council, and then he sets upon his throne and speaks ex cathedra, it is considered to be divine revelation. Mm. Okay? And by the way, just to make an excursion, but that's where the whole idea of Mary as a co-redemptress came from. You know, they see Mary as a co-redeemer along with Christ. They believe that Christ died upon the cross, but yet Mary has to okay you into heaven. And that came, of course, that's not in Scripture anywhere. But yet they hold it equal to Scripture because it was spoken ex cathedra from the Pope, from his place of exaltation. And so now it's considered to be divine revelation that Mary is a co-redeemer with Christ, which undermines, and I want to be just, you know, honest and not rude, but it does undermine sola scriptura and sola fide, which is salvation is by Scripture alone, through faith alone. Their understanding of the church tradition as divine revelation would undermine sola scriptura. So, Catholic origin, I mean, I'll stop for a moment and we can talk about the origin of, you know, Catholicism. Where do they believe they started?
Right, yeah.
But if you have any comments, you know.
No, I think that's okay. A great transition.
Okay.
Give us a little bit about the Catholic origin and okay. How it originated.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, Catholics claim to date back to the Apostle Peter, and they see Peter as the first pope. They believe that the line of authority, apostolic, what they would refer to as apostolic succession, they believe that the line of authority began when Jesus granted Peter, this is their understanding, that Jesus granted to Peter the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And they base this interpretation off Matthew 16:19. I will say that when Jesus said, well, Peter, who do you say I am? He says, and Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, yeah, upon this rock I will build my church. It wasn't Peter. It was the message that Peter proclaimed.
Absolutely.
You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, upon this rock, upon that gospel, upon that truth,
right.
Not upon Peter. It's always upon Jesus. But they would trace it back to Peter. And they would say that after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection in the first century, that the Catholic Church was established. And the people then set up roles such as bishops, priests, deacons, and more. Mm-hmm. And so they would trace it all the way back, you know, to Jesus giving Peter the keys to the kingdom, which is based upon a mistranslation or a misinterpretation of Matthew 16:19. Now, during the Great Schism, that's what the Catholics refer to as the Great Schism, which took place in 1054 A.D., the Catholic Church split. Mm-hmm. It split into Eastern Orthodox and Roman Catholic and Roman Catholicism. You know, both of them claim apostolic lineage. They both believe in the Pope, and they believe that that he is a direct descendant of the apostles, which is the idea of apostolic succession. But the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century led to more divisions, which prompted Catholics to have their own Reformation, and that's why there's different, you know, there's billions of followers within Roman Catholicism, and all of them are led by the Pope, and they consider that the Pope is the vicar of Christ, which is interesting. They believe that Christ, that the Pope is the vicar of Christ, but yet the Pope just came out recently contradicting Christ through his, you know, through his blessing of same-sex couples. That is wrong on so many levels. But yeah, that's, they would trace it all the way back to, you know, to Peter as being the first pope. And but the reality is that, you know, Catholics and evangelicals are not the same. Okay. Both would identify as Christians, and there are some core beliefs that we do share, like, the, you know, we believe in the Trinity. We hold to the divinity of Jesus Christ. Those are some of the common similarities that we have. However, there are major differences between us in other areas.
Okay.
Okay.
So Pastor, you said that there are some similarities.
Some similarities. We talk about the doctrine of the Trinity, deity of Christ. Yeah.
Well, I really want you to expound on some of those differences.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do that. Some of the major differences are, you know, is the issue of authority. I've kind of made reference to that already a little bit, but that is a major difference. You know, evangelicals follow the principle of sola scriptura. We believe that the Bible is our sole and final authority. Okay, whereas it's our ultimate authority, whereas Catholics would rely both on Scripture and church tradition. Yeah. So there are some things, and there are things that they practice that are not in the Bible, but it's a part of their church tradition. Mm. So because it's tradition and church tradition, they place it on the same level as Scripture, which we would never do.
Absolutely.
Okay. Worship. You know, worship within the Catholic Church is highly liturgical, and it's centered around the Eucharist. Whereas in evangelical, our focus is normally around the sermon and congregational singing and so forth. And then you also have what they refer to as the sacraments that we refer to as ordinances. Catholics have seven sacraments, mm-hmm. which they believe are essential to salvation. Which would make us disagree, where we believe that salvation is by grace through faith alone. They would say, oh, yeah, salvation is by grace through faith. But what they really believe is that salvation is by faith. They believe that, think about this in your mind, they believe that faith plus works equals justification.
Right.
So it's a works-based religion. Whereas evangelicals believe faith plus nothing equals salvation. So faith in Jesus alone.
Right.
Where they would say, yeah, faith in Jesus as you practice the seven sacraments of the Catholic Church. And this is known as sacerdotalism. You know, anytime you believe that a sacrament is essential to salvation, it's known as sacerdotalism. That is what that means. And it's a view that the sacraments are necessary as to one's justification.
Okay.
Which we would reject because the Scripture doesn't teach that. Another major difference would be the clergy. You know, the Catholic Church has a hierarchical structure.
Right.
With the Pope at the top, where evangelicals, we have a more decentralized structure with pastors and elders and so forth. And then the major difference would be their view of salvation. Catholics see salvation as a process involving both faith and works. They would say, yeah, you know, that faith is essential to beginning your justification, but if your justification is going to be completed, you have to work for it.
Right.
You have to observe the seven sacraments and so forth. Where we would say, no, it's salvation is by grace through faith in Christ alone. according to sola scriptura, according to the scripture. So really, you have two different, I mean, when you have one group saying, so here's the line that I'm going to draw. I believe that Catholics should be called Catholics and evangelicals should be called Christians.
All right.
And the reason I say that is because I don't think Catholics are, the Catholic religion is Christian. I believe that there are Christians within Catholicism.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
But they're Christian in spite of Catholic doctrine, not because of Catholic doctrine. And anytime you add anything to Jesus, then you're preaching a different gospel.
Right.
Anytime you add works to salvation, you're preaching a different gospel than what Paul preached. Mm-hmm. And Paul talks about that in Galatians. He says, if anybody comes to you, even an angel or we ourselves, who preach to you a different gospel than what you've heard, let them be accursed.
Right.
And, you know, and the reality is that Roman Catholicism teaches a different gospel.
So
I would say, yeah, they're Catholics, but I'm not going to call them Christian. And I'm not saying that to be rude. I think if you ask a Catholic, you know, if they're a Christian, they're going to say, oh, no, I'm Catholic.
Right.
So I don't think I'm saying anything necessarily that they would disagree with. But that is one of the major differences is, you know, it's not just different views between brothers.
Right.
It's not like, okay, you have this view, I have this view, but we're still brothers. No, I do not believe that the Pope is a brother. I do not believe. I believe that the Pope preaches a false gospel. I believe that the Roman Catholic Church preaches a false gospel. And I pray that if anybody hears this and they're in the Catholic Church and they're truly saved, that they would leave.
Yeah.
So, you know, Catholics view salvation as a process, as I told you before, that's facilitated through works. That's facilitated through keeping the sacraments. Whereas evangelicals, we believe in salvation by faith alone. And we consider it to be a gift of God that cannot be earned.
Wow.
Even Ephesians 2:8-9, you know, for it is by grace that you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not by works, lest any man should boast.
Hmm.
You know, of course, they would quote from James. James says, faith without works is dead. You show me your faith. You show me your faith without works, I'll show you my faith by works. But what they fail to realize is that we're talking about two different sides. You know, if you want to look at justification, you go to the book of Romans. How is a person justified? We're justified by grace through faith alone. Okay, how am I sanctified? We'll go to James. James will tell you how you're sanctified.
Through your works.
Through your works.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The Spirit of God working in us through the Word, which produces good fruit, which produces good work in us. But all right, other questions you may have? I mean, I could. The reality is, I mean, the differences are,
right.
You know, the idea that Mary's a co-redeemer, we would reject that. The fact that Mary, you know, they teach that Mary was the Immaculate Conception. They believe that Mary was sinless, despite the fact that in her Magnificat, she too praises her own baby as her Savior.
Right.
You know, she understood she needed to be saved, and she praised the baby in her womb as her Savior. And you see that in the Magnificat. Praying to dead saints, you know, the Bible talks about not praying to the dead, but yet the Catholic Church, you know, they do. They believe in the veneration of dead saints, pray to dead saints. Now, why do they do that? Well, you know, they believe that those Christians, the saints who have died, even though they died physically, they still live spiritually.
Right.
And so they pray to them, you know, to get help in certain events and certain ways. But the Bible actually says don't do that. Right. So as a matter of fact, you know, I'll ask, you know, And I'll tell you another major difference. Where we see all believers as saints, we're all saints.
Right.
Okay? The Catholic Church venerates. They don't believe that all Christians are saints. They believe that sainthood is reserved for certain people.
Okay.
So Catholics venerate saints. You know, they venerate Mary. They venerate relics. They use icons. They all these different things. And we as evangelicals, we avoid such things.
Right.
So.
Okay. So when you say they exalt the relics and imageries, and can you give us a little example of the Catholic Church and how they?
Yeah, you know, the Catholic Church is very committed to statues, iconoclasm or iconolism, using icons. And, you know, they say they use those things for just to enhance worship. They're not bowing down to that statue. They're not bowing down to an icon. They're just using imagery to help enhance worship. Now, it sounds good, but except for the fact that the Bible says that we're not to worship graven images.
Absolutely, yeah.
In the scripture, that's one of the Ten Commandments. Yeah. And so you go into a Catholic church, you're going to see graven images everywhere. And the concept of salvation is central to both, you know, Catholic and evangelical theology, but we have two distinct different views of salvation. As I said before, it's important for us to realize is that Catholics believe in a process of works-based salvation, where evangelicals believe on a grace-alone personal relationship salvation. Mm-hmm. But, you know, what are the seven sacraments of the church? Let me just highlight those right quick. I think I have them in here. Let me look. I know I do. Well, we'll find them here in a minute, I thought I did. I must have missed it. Give me just a moment. I can name them off the top of my head, but I don't want to miss one. Do you have those in your notes?
I don't believe I do.
Okay, well, you know, penance, extreme unction, marriage, mass. I mean, these are just a number of the rituals that they believe that are essential to salvation. And which brings up another important point, you know, their view of the Eucharist as, what is known as transubstantiation. They believe that the bread and the juice or wine literally turn into the body and blood, literally turn into the body and blood of Jesus and is necessary for Christ to be crucified all over again because we keep on sinning, even though Jesus said, and the author of Hebrews said, that he died once for all,
absolutely,
the righteous for the unrighteous. Jesus said upon the cross, it is finished. And so a lot of things that they hold to as tradition are actually in direct contradiction to what the Bible actually teaches.
Yeah.
But the reality is that most Catholics who sit in the pew don't read their Bibles. And so they determine what they believe upon what their priest it teaches them. So, let me just say, you got any other questions for me? I'm going to keep looking through my notes here.
Yeah, I would probably end on this note. When you just stated that, a lot of their teachings are contrary to Orthodox Christianity.
Yeah.
And as a pastor, how would you...
Oh, here it is.
What would you warn? How would you warn those that are sitting in the Catholic Church to flee from the church? Or
I think that... I would hope that Catholics are watching what's happening in the Vatican right now. I hope that they would be listening to what the current Pope is saying and that they would see through it, that they would see through some of the things that he has said, you know, like human beings are basically good. Well, that's contradictory to Scripture.
Right.
The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. So there's then he blesses, then there's the blessing of same-sex couples, which God calls an abomination.
Yeah.
And so there's just several things that the Pope and the cardinals, that several things that are coming out of the Vatican that are just contrary
absolutely
to God. Yeah. and contrary to the Word of God. And so I would say to anybody, you know, if you're in a church that's not preaching the Word, you need to leave. And you need to go find a church that opens the Bible and preaches verse by verse through the through books of the Bible, mm-hmm. and shows you in the Bible where truth is, what truth is. Yeah. And I just don't see in the history of the of Catholicism, I mean, that's the reason that Luther nailed the 95 Theses, you know, on the door of Wittenberg, is because he too saw the degradation, he saw the rebellion and the abuses that were taking place in the Catholic Church. And he didn't try to leave the, he wanted to reform it, he wanted to return it back to true, and as a result he was excommunicated for it. But let me just, you know, I did find those seven sacraments here. Baptism, confirmation, Eucharist, penance, anointing of the sick, holy orders, matrimony. And so they have seven sacraments mm-hmm. that they believe are necessary to justification, whereas we have ordinances. They're not. We don't hold the sacerdotalism. We don't hold the sacraments. We don't believe that they're essential to salvation.
Right.
We believe that they're symbols that are to be obeyed, such as baptism and communion. So, again, yeah, some major differences between Christians and Catholics, major differences between evangelicals and Catholics. And so I hope this is helpful to our audience. We're not trying to beat anybody up, but we are trying to speak truth. So you have any more questions for me?
I do. I have one last question.
Okay, what is that?
And I believe this will wrap everything
okay.
up. Why shouldn't we as Christians partner with those in the Catholic Church?
Yeah. Now, there would be those who disagree. You know, I've got some good pastor brothers who don't have problems rubbing shoulders with the Catholic Church when it comes to issues of life. So you will see... You will see Catholics and evangelicals come together, even Protestants come together in efforts like the pro-life movement.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody knows by now, I'm not a pro-lifer. I'm an abolitionist. I don't believe that pro-life goes far enough. I don't believe that pro-lifeism is faithful to Scripture. I believe that the Catholic Church is a false church, and so I'm not going to partner with people who compromise on what the Scripture teaches.
Absolutely.
I'm one of those guys that it's probably not going to partner with a Catholic, and that's. You know, that's not me saying anything mean or derogatory towards them. It's just my conviction. You know, I believe that what they teach is contrary to Scripture. Even though they do have some truth, it's truth mixed with a whole lot of error. And for that reason, I just don't want to be seen. I feel like when I'm seen alongside that, I'm actually, that in a sense, you're actually like condoning.
Absolutely.
Or like saying that what they do is okay, and I just don't want to be that guy. So, but, you know, there's a lot of things I can appreciate about the Catholic Church. I know a lot of godly people who are in the Catholic Church, and for why they stay, I don't know. But I hope that they would come out and find a good Bible preaching church to be a part of. I will say this in conclusion. I think one of the major issues, too, is like, you know, the Catholics and evangelicals or Christians, I mean, don't even use the, you know, we don't even use the same Bible. So, now what do I mean by that? I mean, here's what I mean. The Catholic Bible includes 46 books with additional books and extensions. So, in the Old Testament. Okay. As a whole, 46 books. Um, So evangelicals include 39 books. Oh, this is the Old Testament. I'm sorry. So 40, they hold to 46 books in the Old Testament. Evangelicals hold to 39 books in the Old Testament. So why a difference? Why do they have 46 and we have 39? It's because they have the Apocrypha in their Bible. The Apocrypha is not inspired. It's not divine revelation. But yet the Catholic Church keeps it in their Bible because they do believe that even though they too reject it as divine revelation, they do believe that there are truths that can be learned from it. And I think in many ways this is where they're going off the rail. But but also in the New Testament, both Catholics and evangelicals hold to 27 books in the New Testament. However, the Catholics interpret the Bible through the guidance of church tradition. That's good. You got to realize that when they interpret the Bible, they're interpreting it through the lens of church tradition. Whereas evangelicals, when we interpret the Bible, we interpret it alone. It is its own ultimate authority.
Right.
Right? And so we don't translate it through the lenses or interpret it through the lenses of church tradition like Catholics do. So, you know, I hope that's helpful, and I appreciate your questions.
Yeah, I appreciate you, Pastor.
Yeah. Well, thank you to our audience for tuning in once again. And I'm sorry if you saw the side of my head the whole time. I just got caught up with talking with Jonathan. And until we meet again, serve the King.